Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sun.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Bubba Show after a holiday. Well, I don't know. It wasn't a holiday week. It feels like a holiday week because there's nothing going on. I don't know. Every day's a holiday. But here we are in the mortuary of the stock market that nobody cares what's going on. Nothing's happening. The complacency continues to rise. The automatic free money continues to flow in. And, of course, that's a problem. Okay. Now, again, I'm not predicting the end of the day, the end of the world. I just say that, you know, look at what's happening around you. We know it cannot be this easy. We know that everybody believes that the markets will never go down again. And, of course, that we also know is a fallacy. And there is just so many things that point to the end, but you cannot predict it. But you can look at certain levels. And I think that that's kind of what you do here. The key in markets today is to kind of stay out of trouble right here, using your stops to, you know, maneuver around the market. But again, we do have a severe lack of action, of volatility, which does create a more challenging market to trade. You know, volatility is what we call the great forgiver. And right now there's no forgiveness. Forgive me, I didn't mean to do it. No, there is no forgiveness. And, you know, you're going to see volatility is going to pick up again. It always does. This is not, you know, the end of the world. You can look back at certain times in history where markets sit back and do nothing. But I think that you know, have to remember that this is the slowest time of the year. You know, it is the last 2 weeks of August. It is the last, you know, right before Labor Day. It is the last big vacation time. So you are going to figure to see these things tighten up. Now, there has been traditionally a, you know, some kind of news item that might create some fierce selling here at one day, but we don't want to plan for it. We don't want to trade for it. We don't want to get short for it. We want to continue the same path as we talk about every week, which is just stay the course and stay the plan. You know, you're getting a lot of the fear mongering out there now, and, you know, the George Soros of the world, you know, I mean, he's a jackass anyways, but, you know, everybody's telling you what's going to happen. But the thing is nobody knows. You know, you have to remember, okay, if George Soros says something, or Warren Buffett, or any of those guys, okay, remember, they don't have to get out, okay? They can hold, you know, they're putting in a stake, and they don't have to get out tomorrow. They aren't worried about going broke or losing all their money. They are making a big play based on a statistical model or based on their opinion. But at the end of the day, they aren't going to be forced out. In fact, they can probably add to that position at a different level. So, you know, George Soros, so he's taking a short position. You know, he's got billions. He's taking X amount of risk right now, and maybe he's going to be right, and he probably will be right. And that's one of the things when you get into that stage of investor or billionaire, and, you know, and don't forget, it's not all his own money either. But when you get into these stages, you can afford to take bigger risks because you can afford to get in more, you know. And very rarely do these guys get trapped like Bill Ackman did in VRX and in Herbalife, because, you know, typically they don't make those plays like that and they don't get so stubborn. But you can see where Soros is. He's in the commodity versus the stock, so he has less to worry about. But at the end of the day, they will add to it. And, you know, Warren Buffett, you know, he's bought a lot of stocks at much higher prices that go way down, and then he buys more, and they go back way back up again. You know, he's playing the statistical part of the model, knowing that he's not buying it to trade it, he's buying it to hold it. So, you know, don't let the big news of what certain people are doing affect your mind, because you and I can't do exactly what they do. Okay, that is the big difference that, you know, people don't understand, is the model for the average guy does not work for, you know, is not what the big guys who make the big money, because again, you don't hear about when they're getting creamed. Okay, all you hear about is, oh, they did great, but you don't hear how much they might have to have lost to get there. And so don't get confused or trapped into the media frenzy of what some billion-dollar fund is doing based on their opinion, because you and I, again, cannot take, you know, if you've been short this market, you know, let's say the S&P since, let's say, 2000, okay, not the year 2000, but the price 2000. So right now, okay, you're down, you know, almost 2,000 points, okay? So every 100 points, okay, it's 50 bucks or five. So it's five. You're down $10,000 on a two lot, okay, or on a one lot on 2 points, on 2,000 points. But, you know, you may not be able to add to that position, whereas they can and continue to stay short and push it up, whereas we have to be a little bit more careful about that. So, you know, this is why we always say, just know where your exit is when you're wrong, because, you know, you're going to be wrong on occasion. I mean, you can't always be right. You have to know that as markets work. And at the end of the day, just be prepared. So, don't, again, my message is don't let these guys get to you, because basically the reason that they come public with their announcement is they're looking for you to help them. Okay, they're getting short. They're telling you they're getting short, so you're going to jump in and start to push the market down. Now, a couple things happen. Either the markets go down with them and they get out and take their profits and run, or take part of their profits and run, or they need help to break the technical pattern. Okay, so that if they start selling and they get you to start selling and they get, you know, they create the market. Okay, that's why these guys go public with it, not because they want to be helpful to you. They want help from you. Okay. That's why when Goldman Sachs and these other guys make these ridiculous announcements, there's an agenda behind that announcement. And I hope you understand that. And it's not me showing bitter grapes or sour grapes, or, you know, I'm just telling you the facts. Okay. Remember dragging the Jack Webb? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. These are facts. These are not fiction. Nobody gives away something for nothing. They have an agenda. Do you think any of these guys really give a crap about any of us? They don't. They have one agenda, to push the market, and you can help them push it in their direction. So they put out their disclosure of what they've got. Without it, they wouldn't give a rat's ass about you or me or anybody. And that is what you have to worry about, especially in the dog days of summer, when markets are extremely quiet and they can be easily manipulated. And that's why you see sometimes in the summer when these big breaks come, or these big rallies come, they come a lot faster because there ain't nobody to stop them. And you've got a lot of big money looking to go down. So I warn you to stay away from these dramatic calls of the big hedge funds, because they've already done it. They're already in and they're looking for you to help push that market for them. And screw them. That's what I say. They're all full of shit. They don't care about me and you. They're not giving out their information for any other reason than to benefit themselves. But you heard that from Bubba, and you can book it. You can say it, and I would say it right to their face, because that's what they do. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and you download the Bubba Show, as well as the Sporting Edge with my boy Xander. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break and come back with Gene King, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the extremely talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and as we say with GE, always brings good things to life. So I guess, I don't know, I have so many questions, but I guess we'll just start out with the most recent. Do you like the new, softer, gentler Trump?
I do. I was watching him in the North Carolina speech, and it's not just softer and gentler, even though I think there's a lot of people that feel more comfortable with him, that he's kind of apologized for hurting feelings. But I thought the speech that he gave in North Carolina was also just more coherent. He got back to the message that worked so well for him in the primary in terms of corruption and how all these like big government and company organizations and elitists and powerful, and the powerful help the powerful. And I just think that's a really effective message. And I thought the speech last night was great. And I hope he does more, because I'd like to see this be a really competitive race.
Well, actually, I think it's more than competitive. I've said this, and I will say it with you. He's going to win by a big margin. I don't care what the polls say. There's not a lot of people that will admit openly that they're going to vote for Mr. Trump. But I think when they close the gates, when they close the curtain on the betting, on the betting on the voting booth, they push Trump. Okay, so that's enough politics for one day. Now, you know, during the week we had, of course, our own you're Mr. Dudley. Of the Canadian Mounties, Dudley Do-Right, if you remember, and of course Mr. Lockhart from Atlanta, both having interviews saying, well, we're probably going to raise rates, or we can raise rates, and September is on the table. Now, I have two questions, a two-part question. A, there, in my opinion, and I want you to think, there's no way they raise before the election, even if they're going to raise. And B, I believe that this was just another contrived, manipulative thing by the Fed just to slow the market down, because the market keeps going up and they're getting a little concerned that they're continuing to build too big of a bubble.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I mean, yes, 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 and yes. I mean, I don't think they're going to raise rates in September. I think for various reasons. First of all, they're mixed. They're split on. I don't think Janet Yellen wants to raise rates, even though some of the Fed governors do. So I don't think there's any kind of consensus there. It's too close to an election. I don't think they're going to mess with things at that point. And I think there's still some signs of the economy that, even though the stock market's hitting record highs and the jobs are decent, I mean, we're not growing like we should be.
The jobs suck.
Well,
they suck. They're not.
Even, oh, you mean like in terms of part time versus or whatever, like the actual jobs or the job numbers total?
Well, the numbers. I mean, but the numbers don't mean anything when the average Americans are making less money today than they were 10 years ago. The jobs can't be good. I don't care how many they think they created. You know, if you took now, and again, I'm a math guy, right? If you took all the jobs we lost and all the jobs we put back on, so let's say we added, and let's say Mr. Obama's numbers are correct, that they added 10 million jobs in his administration. Okay. If you take all the jobs he lost in that same period of time, okay, from Schlumberger and now from Cisco and from all these other companies, I will bet everything I own that the amount of income lost is not being overcome by the amount of income now being earned.
Yeah, well, I think in terms of income, I think that that's definitely the case. And there's just too much debt out there. I think even if people are making more, they're still like having trouble like keeping up with all these payments that they got, mortgages, credit cards, education. And if you go historically, like back to, you know, the 60s, and you actually get job creation, we really, for our population, should be doing more like $350,000, $400,000 a month, not $200,000 to $250,000. So, yes, I agree that we're not where we should be, but it's not the disaster that it was, I guess, you know, 7 years ago. So,
well, okay.
Anyway, but
I'll
I do think the Fed, you know, maybe they'll do it in December, but I think it all depends on what the economy does between now and then.
Okay, now, I'm a believer, and this is the Bubba theory, okay, that it doesn't matter what the economy is doing, that the only true way to get out of the mess that we're in is to raise rates, and let the market, let everybody do what they're going to do. Let the markets discover true price. Let everybody happen. If it falls, it falls. But the only true way to get out of the mess that we're in is to open up the lending windows to the average people again so they can go back into small businesses and things like that. So they'd really just have to raise rates, bite the bullet on the stock market, because at the end of the day, there's not as many people involved in it that are involved in everything else. So if they raise rates, we would see the banks being more willing to loan. We'd see more of the opportunity for small business. If you get more small business, that creates better jobs again, and that increases the cycle. So taking the short-term beating that you would have to take, it would be much more beneficial in the long term. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I think I totally agree with that. I mean, the question is whether they do it. I mean, we should have really been doing that all along, at least for the past few years. I mean, we shouldn't have been. The government's just too involved in the market in so many ways, and we just don't really know where we're at in terms of the economy. The problem is that people who have a liberal political philosophy think that the way to fix the problem we're in is to have the government do more. But that just digs us deeper in this hole, and then people get addicted to it. And I mean, you know how it goes. I mean, this isn't going on through history. And but that's, you know, people want to come in. Obamacare is a disaster. Insurance companies, you know, are not making money at it. It's, you know, I have Obamacare, so I can speak from this with direct experience. And I love to hear these people go, but so many more people have coverage. But what they don't tell you is that they have $8,000 deductibles. I mean, it's really pretty worthless. It's catastrophic coverage is basically what it is, unless you're willing to pay $2,000 a month to cover a family. So what's going to happen? Well, until Hillary Clinton is elected president, I think we're going to see more government interference in healthcare, and that's going to make the situation even worse.
I couldn't agree more. And the insurance, and this is the other problem, and this problem, and nobody talks about this, but the insurance problem, not only that the crappy Obamacare, but the insurance companies in general, I mean, they were getting a little bit out of hand beforehand, right? And the only people that really go to an Obamacare are people that are deathly ill that can't get insurance elsewhere, so they get it through Obamacare, which is why the premiums are high, because nobody wants to be there. But my other point is that the insurance companies, let's face it, insurance companies work on a table of they take your premium, they invest your premium, and that's how the insurance business works, and that's how they can afford to insure somebody for $100,000 for life or whatever, you know, for $500 a year. But they're not, they don't have the ability now to put their money to work either, so they're struggling based on what's going on because they're a financial institution, and the financials have suffered because of the low interest rate. And that would help everybody as well, because that could bring down the cost of healthcare. What do you think?
Yeah, well, okay, a couple things. So, well, first of all, you don't buy Obamacare if you can't buy anything else. I would love to buy something else, and I can't. I am forced into Obamacare. At least that's how it is in the state of New York. When my coverage at Bloomberg expired, we called the insurance company. At the time, I was covered by Empire Blue Cross, and I said, just give me a quote on what the exact policy that I had. And it was about $2,000 a month. And I was like, okay, let's go down a little bit. And so he increased the deductible, did some other things, got it down to $1,300 a month. So that was the policy that I took. So I get my cards in the mail from Empire, and it's got a letter at the front of my policy number. So I call my doctor that I've been going to see for 16 years since I moved to New York and tried to make an appointment. And they're like, okay, what's your policy number? I gave her the number. She's like, oh, it's got a letter in front of it. That's Obamacare. I was like, I don't want to be in Obamacare. How am I in Obamacare? She's like, if you're buying an individual policy, you are automatically put into Obamacare. So, of course, I'm, you know, don't like this situation at all. Happened to see my local congressman collecting signatures to get on the ballot, and went up to him and told him. And he said, his name is Gerald Nadler, Democrat, who represents downtown Manhattan. And he said that they tried to get a private option for people that don't want Obamacare but need to buy an individual policy, and the Republicans stopped it, is what he told me. And so here we go again. But the bottom line is I'm stuck in Obamacare, and I can't stand the policy. It's terrible. I mean, nobody in New York takes it. The second thing is, like Cigna, I had Cigna dental insurance when I was at Bloomberg, and it was excellent. Covered things, reimbursed quickly, always up front, transparent. I can't get that now. And they don't have the permission to work in New York, I guess, unless you're with some big company. So I think some of those like policies about like interstate and letting more, like, why can't Cigna be in New York? You know, it's crazy. And so I think loosening up those restrictions would help with pricing as well.
Well, Jane King, you know, you do bring good things to light, and I got to tell you, it is rather depressing the way that it's working, but it's going to get better. We're going to have great things. But
Jane, I think it will get better.
We'll get better. Look, we're a resilient country. We're going to get better. No matter who gets in, we're going to get better. This is Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, always bringing good things to The Bubba Show and to life. Jane King, thanks so much. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Bob.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure if you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for our guy, Matt Demeter, who's going to tell us how slow and quiet this business is. But it's DemeterResearch.com. Matt has been on top of his game and telling us what to look for. Matt, what's up, my boy?
I'm doing okay. How about you, Todd?
I'm all right. You know, look, it's the markets suck. There's not a lot going on, which, you know, one of the things that I need as a trader is I need volatility. And without it, it's just extremely torturous because you get no real follow-through, so you can have the right ideas, but it makes trading all that more challenging. What do you think?
Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. I have the same. It's challenging on my end as well. You just, you know, you want to be productive. You want to, you know, you watch. I enjoy trading when I can, and, you know, it just, when it goes nowhere, there's really nothing to do. Except to, you know, double check your charts and make sure that, you know, you know, I think we're topping, but, you know, we topped, you know, last year in May, and we went sideways for, you know, another month. And in fact, you know, when we got into July of last year, NASDAQ made a new high. The other, you know, Dow and S&P didn't quite reach their May peaks, but, you know, this has gone on even longer this summer. So,
well, you know, it's funny, but, you know, I did, you know, I get really irritated. You know, I do a lot of media, as you know, as well as I'm a full-time trader, but I do a lot of, you know, stuff. And I got really irritated last week because, you know, somebody said, well, what do we do here? And I said, either you sell or you hedge. Okay. And I said, I prefer that you hedge. And go, well, we don't, you know, we don't hedge and we don't blah, 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 and do this stuff. And I go, okay, whatever. Now, I then went back and did some work, and I went back over. I used a 10-year chart on the Dow and a 10-year chart on the VIX. And believe it or not, every year there's a point in where the VIX bottoms, and within a few weeks or whatever, the Dow plummets or vice versa. And that, again, will not change. And so I like where you are with your overall views. I think they're right. And again, unfortunately, when we have markets that are like they are at the moment, they're just challenging. And the key here, I think, that people have to understand and learn is that now is the time you have to be disciplined, and you make the trades as you always make them, but you got to watch the capital, and you can't afford to let yourself get carried away nor get stubborn. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I just, you know, you can't get stubborn. You just got to stay flexible. I think, you know, hedging, I think what you're saying with either selling or hedging is just a good plan. It's also, it's kind of tough though when, you know, you, let's say you buy puts to hedge and you watch them decay. I mean, that's, you know, ideally if you want to see your, if you're long, if you want to see your investments move up, then, you know, that's the right thing to do. But even then, you know, it's frustrating because you bought a hedge and nothing happened, you know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there are ways to hedge. And, you know, this is where a lot of you, I use a lot of your work. Because, you know, your stuff is probably as good as I've ever seen from a understanding and working the market type of standpoint. And I believe that, you know, I can design a hedge for anybody that you don't have to worry about the time decay. We account for the time decay and know how to take and reduce that time decay in the market. So I don't worry about that. I think it's an easy model. And of course, it's easy for me because I know how to do it. But at the end of the day, we still have to trade exactly the same way. Our decisions, in my opinion now, and let me know what you think, you either continue to follow the model, which is what you do, okay? Like, so you have treasuries at a top, and you have the Dow at a top, and maybe oil's at a top now, and if your charts suggest that they should be sold, you either sell them, or you sit on the sidelines waiting for more volatility, but you do not fade or go against what you are seeing based on your charts. What do you think?
Yeah, no, you try to stay objective, and right now we should be at tops in, you know, a lot of different markets. Most things look to be at peaks in addition to stocks. Treasuries, I think, are to get one more bounce once we do get a sell-off in stocks. They've been chopping sideways as well. I think we're going to move a little bit lower in treasuries over the next maybe week or two, and then they should be bottoming out. We should get another spike higher. But long term, I do believe that they've topped. And as far as what we're waiting for volatility, I do think it's coming. But, you know, in the meantime, yeah, we just have to stick to our game plan.
No, I'm in 100% agreement with you. I mean, I think back all week when the markets are moving. I think back to, you know, when we talk on Mondays and you tell me, you know, what's going on with what you see, because you and I are very similar. You're just much more thorough at the way that you do it, and you're much less affected by anything. You're basically saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and you make your trades. Now, do you tend to, now I know you use stops as well, do you tend to use tighter stops when markets like this, wider stops? How do you manage capital when, you know, you have markets that are a little bit more challenging? Because there are markets, some are better, some are worse, and you have to be prepared for all the models when they happen. So how do you kind of prepare, Matt?
Well, because we're working with pretty distinct lines, we just say, you know, if we cross that line, we're going to stop out. And we've, in terms of the S&P, we've given ourselves quite a bit of leeway, actually, because we think we're going to go up to about, we could go up to about 2210 in the S&P. It could stretch as high as, you know, 2215, but beyond that, we would stop out. So, we don't tighten our stops because, you know, action, you know, goes into a more narrow range. We just stick with where we think the lines are. And these lines are also declining. So, you know, over time, they'll be coming down. And so rather than 22, you know, 2215 max upside, we're going to be looking more like, you know, 2210, 2205 if this continues, you know, for much longer.
Right. So let me just clarify. So what will happen is you won't tighten your stop because it's a tighter market or it's a lousier market. Your lines will actually tighten the stop for you, because if today's stop is 22.15 and you don't get stopped out this week, the next week's line might be 22.12 or 22.10, whatever. Right. Is that, would that be?
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same line. It's just a declining line rather than a horizontal line. So it works out well for, knowing that it will tighten on its own.
Okay, so you're and this is important to everybody, and I want to make sure everybody understands it, and that's why, you know, I went through it, because obviously it's not like we have like earth-shattering things to do. And what you have to understand from a trading standpoint is that if you're using Matt's methods, which are outstanding, that the stop will come to you as if we don't move, because that line will continue to decline. I don't know what rate it declines, but it doesn't matter. It will eventually take you out of the market. Either the market pops real quick and you get taken out, or it will tighten up for you automatically. So you don't have to worry about all these other things, and you're still using the exact same disciplines, correct?
Absolutely. And I will say, like, look, when we're in, you know, markets like these, you're talking about, you know, putting on hedges that you don't worry about decay. I think that's, you know, the beauty of your work. I mean, you know, I don't get real deep into option strategies and you do. And I think that's, you know, a huge benefit, especially in times where you don't have volatility and, you know, we'll do something where we do mostly under the underlying trades, but working with the underlyings. But, you know, we'll occasionally put on, you know, we'll buy puts, you know, to take if we think we're about to get, you know, massive volatility, or we'll consider selling calls here and there, that sort of thing. But I think what you bring to the table on the options, particularly in times like this, is really hugely beneficial.
And it is, but of course, you know, being able to, but you trade in the underlying, which is great, because you know, you don't have to worry about the K, but unfortunately, you know, everybody's got the capital to be in all the underlyings. But again, it always comes down to the same thing. You and I are the same exact. You have to be disciplined in this industry. You have to be disciplined in this business, and you cannot take anything for granted. And that's what I think that a lot of people end up doing, because, you know, it's easy to get frustrated when conditions get challenging. What do you think?
Yeah, you kind of have to just stick with your game plan, like we're talking about, stay disciplined. And yeah, it's hard to just sit there and do nothing when markets are doing nothing. But sometimes that's what I feel like we just have to do. We've been doing it for 2 weeks. We've kind of just, you know, we've been nibbling on different areas here and there. There have been some minor changes. You know, some of the commodities that we'll surely talk about, emerging markets in the stock space, I think, are towards their top. Same thing with specifically Brazil and Russia are two that come to mind. But I mean, other than that, we're just tweaking things on the outside.
Well, again, that's what you do. I mean, it's terrific, and this is why I suggest people check out you at DemeterResearch.com, is because you're not a guy who's, you know, a guy who's saying, hey, the market's going to do this, the market's going to do that. You're saying, hey, this is what the charts, this is what the footprint of the market tells me we're going to do, and based on statistical information, okay, which is all we really should be worried about, is that this is going to happen next. And that is something that you have to understand in this industry, that nobody knows for sure. But what does know always is the footprints that the markets leave. We are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, always on top of his A game. We're going to stop by, have a break, and come back with more from Matt. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm, because we always have a lot of volatility here. So make sure you check out The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, our A number one strategist, who really is a chartered market technician and really brings just purely a technical read on the market. So last week, again, pretty flat, Matt. It feels like it wants to move, but it continues to get tighter in this rubber band. You know, I always compare the markets to a rubber band that goes in and out, and eventually it's going to snap, and one way we're going to move. And I say, the more we stay in this tight pattern, the bigger the move is going to be. And I do believe it could go up, but I do believe the next move is to the downside. That's going to be of any subsequent or size. What do you think about the action, and what do you think about the next move?
Well, like we talked about last week, I mean, when I hear the word rubber band, I often think of, you know, Bollinger Bands, which we discussed. We're right at the top Bollinger Band for the S&P. It is moving up. So, you know, and last week we did make, you know, a new high by, you know, a few points. It's just pushing into that Bollinger Band. And as we talked about, this is a and by the way, I'm talking about on a monthly chart. I'm looking at a bar chart on a monthly basis. And on this chart, there's only one close above the Bollinger Band. And we're right at the top of the Bollinger Band right now. So, yeah, it's certainly possible we go a little bit higher. But in every instance that we've, you know, that I'm looking at, that we've closed above a Bollinger Band, you get a reversal the next month. And it wipes out the gains of the prior month.
And I wouldn't be surprised. That would not surprise. Again, the next big down move would not surprise me at all. And I think in my views of watching markets for 36 years, the more complacent we get, which you've clearly noted in your email this week, in your letter this week, that, you know, we're seeing money going into the market, but what's really pushing new highs is really the we'll call it the dumb money. It's not the right word, but we'll call it the dumb money that is continuing to buy in here, while as the smarter money has been pulling out and going actually short the market. Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is the case. And you know, I'm just using it for sentiment reasons, but, you know, the dumb money, so to speak, is at a confidence level of 80, and the smart money is at a confidence level of 20. So that's a big spread. I mean, that's about as big as that spread gets. So it's just another indicator that we should be near a top.
And again, you know, predicting the exact date, you know, it's going to be August 27th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can never do that. But we know that when the little engine that could get started and you start to see the volatility start to pop a little bit, you could see the big move coming. And I think this week or just last week, we saw a little rise in volatility during the early in the week, and it wasn't even though markets had some, you know, fairly decent little bit up moves, volatility really did not go with it. What did you see? What did you see there?
Yeah, no, I mean, your volatility popped a little bit. What was interesting is the real pop that we got was last Wednesday is the expiration for VIX futures. VIX options. And these VIX options are European style. They can only be exercised on one date. That's the date of that's what European style is. So that they can only be exercised on the expiration date. And all, you know, these prior weeks of August, you could have seen all along that that date, August 17th, those options were, you could see that the market makers would have lost money had those options expired, you know, in the money. So in other words, they were selling VIX puts for ridiculously low prices. They were basically saying there's no way the VIX is going to close below 12 on August 17th. And it was, you know, like clockwork. On August 17th, they shot the VIX up. I mean, I don't know if they did, but
it's all, you know, I mean, we talk about that. It's always they, but listen, it's common for anybody in this business. It's always they, right? I mean, I wrote about that a couple of weeks ago. It's always they. But they is important because things do happen, and they happen on a regular basis. So this isn't a surprise that it happened exactly the way that you described it. And this is something that you've warned about, you know, for quite a while, which is what you're on top of. And, you know, again, we look and you can see crude oil popping, you know, and it's probably very near a top here temporarily, you know, whether it's going to go higher later or not, I don't know. But I would think that, you know, I couldn't see it going much past 50. Could you?
No, I don't. I don't think it's going to go much past. I don't think it's going much past, you know, 48, 49.
Well, I hope that, because I'm short the crude futures. I hope it doesn't go much past that.
Yeah, we actually just got short on Thursday. So we're short now as well. We've been holding off just because, you know, you know, the market had gotten a little bit oversold. It just had gotten oversold, and it just wasn't a good we hadn't hit our target low yet, but we were close enough that it just didn't make it, the risk reward wasn't there. Now risk reward is good for being short, and I'd say if we do pop above say 49, we may stop out at that level, but we might hold as high as 50. But just because there's overwhelming, you know, overhead resistance now. But
all right,
we just got short.
You've been, you know, on your gold call, right? And
yeah.
And gold has been, now gold to me, and let me get your opinion, has been showing action that it's getting ready to make that next big move. And again, you believe it's to the downside, but it's had a couple of, you know, pretty big intraday swings back and forth. What do you think about gold? And tell us about the gold special, please.
Well, okay. Well, talking about they, that's definitely a market where they get involved quite a bit. As we talked about it quite a bit, the commercials are heavily short gold. And, you know, every time it tries to pop up, they smack it right back down. And it may be their own games on both sides, on the moves up and the moves down. They're whipping through, you know, stops and that sort of thing. Bigger picture, I don't think that gold has bottomed. And the reason is that we have a symmetrical pattern that's actually very beautiful, that has a bottom line target that's below where we bottomed in this past December and January. So we don't think that the bottom in gold is in. So we have the gold special you referred to. It's called a gold bottom call. It's just very simple. We have a target line. Once we get close to it, we're going to send out an email and a text message to subscribers to the gold bottom call. It's free to sign up, and you know, we'll send out that message, and if we're right and gold bottoms where we say it does, and that has to be within 3% of where we say, and then if we get a 20% rally or more, we'll consider, you know, the call to be correct, and then we'll charge $49. That's the deal there.
That's a trade you can't lose on. If he's right, you make a ton, and if he's wrong, you lose $49. But he's been very good, and I'm going to say that I signed up for it because I know he's good. We're running
if
a
I'm
little
wrong,
bit.
If I'm wrong, you lose nothing.
That's what I said. You lose nothing. You lose nothing. It doesn't matter. He's good. Yeah. You don't worry. But now we're running a little bit short on time. But can we make a quick run through the commodities, the grains, and the livestock for the farmers and producers, real quick?
Sure, we're still bullish on grains. I think that, you know, the bounce has begun. Some of the daily stochastics have gone to oversold very quickly, which isn't the best sign, but I still think there's a bit more upside in the grains, particularly wheat and corn. As far as the meats, we're still relatively bearish on both cattle and hogs. We don't think they've quite bottomed, particularly cattle, I think, has more downside than hogs do. Hogs, we're looking for a bottom only about $2 or so below where we bottomed. I think it was around 56, what we're looking for in October futures.
Right. That's right. Okay. There you go. And I think that 58 is going to hold, and I think that cattle is probably somewhere near its bottom. That is what makes a market. And we're not far off, but I think, you know, depending on if you're trading or if you're hedging or what you're doing, I think that's how it depends. But, Matt, you got about 20 seconds or so. Anything last thing to put out here? We are coming to a holiday. It's going to be, you know, the next 2 weeks should be pretty crappy. In 10 seconds or so, you have anything that's special to add?
I would just echo what you were saying about hedging. Volatility is coming, so this is a good time to prepare and either be out, short, or hedged. Yeah.
This has been my guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his gold special as well as his website, because I think it's a great piece of information. Excellent to help you navigate through these markets. This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you miss an episode with LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. See you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you. I just spent around.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.